This morning, we are privileged. Many of you know Jesus culture and the worship really has influenced the entire world. Many of you are familiar with one of the worship leaders, Chris Kilala. I met Chris when he was 16 years old as a youth pastor, went to one of the youth conferences. And one of the things, and I'm just going to go on the record right now, Chris Kilala is my favorite Jesus culture worship leader. All right. And I do not just say that. And the reason why that is because Chris is the same guy you meet on Monday that he's the same guy on the platform on Sunday. And he's amazing, humble man of God, heart of worship. And today you get to meet his better half. All right. And she is a wife, a mom, a minister, an author, an actress, a model. She is an influencer in this generation, and she is passionate about helping others overcome traumatic experiences with biblical tools and seeing hope restored. How many know we need to get our hope back? And so I'm going to let her tell her story, but will you stand and give a real life church welcome to our friend, Alyssa Kilala.
Thank you so much, Pastor Dean. Oh gosh, what an honor to be here today. Last night was super fun. That night service is really cool. You guys got to come out. I'm going to be coming back to that. Thank you, Pastor Dean and Pastor Amy, for having me here today. I actually just wanted to take a minute and honor our mama of the house. Pastor Amy, please stand up. Gosh, you are so radiant. This woman, let's give it up for her. She leads with such grace and such humility and such beauty. Oh my goodness, I've been so inspired by her for so long. Like Dean had said, they started out helping us build our church community. And if you know anything about building a church, it ain't easy. And they did an amazing job doing it. They were there just long nights, early mornings, dealing with messes, cleaning things up for us, building friendships, building our leaders, really just influencing everybody in our community and doing a lot of the work that, you know, nobody really wants to do. So thank you so much, Pastor Dean and Pastor Amy, for doing that and contributing to our community in that way. So being here is super fun because I get to hang with them again. And, you know, we have started out in ministry about 10 years ago. I married my husband this summer. We're married 10 years. And I know, it's a milestone one. It's pretty cool. Proud of that. Married for 10 years. And, you know, I married into ministry. I married into it. Chris was already doing Jesus culture stuff. And he was with Bethel Music as well, playing drums. And so I had just started going to ministry school up at Bethel, BSSM. And met this guy, fell in love, fast-tracked to ministry, and we had two beautiful children, two beautiful little girls. And then we got pregnant again with our third, and we had a hard time with that one. It was a curveball in our ministry and in our world. And I'm going to talk about that today, actually. And then we were able to have another beautiful baby and another beautiful baby. So that's five, if you're still counting. Five children. So mom life is real fun for me. When we go, you know, minister, they're like, okay, can you bring a picture of your children? And my littlest is a year old. So in my defense, I don't actually have a lot of pictures of all four of these children together, but this is the one that I could find, okay? And they are in a public restroom and they are eating French fries in a public restroom. Okay, I'm sorry. That's how I mother, apparently. But this is what I got, so I brought it. Those are my cute kids. The oldest is Ella, and then there's Aria, live with the crazy hair, and Maddox looking very confused about his life. So anyways, those are my little ones. And as I said before, there's five, though. One of them is being raised in heaven by the most incredible father that there is. And yeah, honestly, oh, what an honor that my baby gets to be raised by Jesus. Ah, so good. Anywho, so to go into that a little bit, we started out ministry strong. Things are going good. You know, if you're in ministry at all, your main message is God is good. The goodness of God. My husband sings it every day. I mean, it's our lifestyle is to preach and tell people, spread the message across the globe. That's what we do. That's what we were doing. And we're pregnant with our third child, and everything's fine. Everything's going great. And one day, I noticed that my baby wasn't moving. And you know, I'm big. And you feel the kicks, but they start to slow down as they get a little bit bigger, you know. I'm very close to my due date. But I noticed that a baby's not kicking. And so we're like, well, maybe we should go to the hospital. And we're joking. We're relaxing. We're kind of just, like, not expecting anything to be wrong because the labor or the pregnancy had been fine. I had two previous pregnancies that were fine. And we get to the hospital, and the doctor puts on the ultrasound on my belly, and there's just silence, you know. And at first we thought, well, maybe the ultrasound's broken. And he leaves the room without a word, just cold, cold man. And he comes back in, and he puts the ultrasound back on my belly. And he's quiet, and he says it without any bedside manner at all, you know, no love, just cold as ice. There's no heartbeat. Your baby has no heartbeat. And in that moment, we had that decision. We had that decision placed right in front of us. Are we going to believe that God is in that room with us right there? Are we going to trust him when we don't understand what is going on? That choice shaped our marriage. It shaped our children's lives, the children that we ended up having later. It shaped our ministry completely, because there's those two paths, that tension, two paths of what are you going to believe when hard stuff happens? Who is God when the hard stuff happens? He's the same. He's the same when it's good, and he's the same when it's confusing, right? Yes, he is a good God, and that is our message. That is the message that me and my husband preach continually. We felt like, you know, as things were happening, we're in this hospital room, and we're like, okay, what are we going to do? Are we going to pray for a miracle? So yeah, we believed for a miracle. We had 2 days of induction, inducing the labor, and we prayed that this little boy would have a heartbeat again. Oh, we prayed. We asked God to come to the room. We had pastor friends coming and speaking life over my belly. And he comes out, and he didn't take a breath. He didn't. And I remember the utter pain. I remember it like it was yesterday, you know? I really do. And if you've ever experienced any pain at all, you, even if you're healed, you can still remember that moment. I'm going to read Lamentations 3, 19 through 33. It's kind of long. I'm reading it from the Message translation. I actually want you to write that down. Lamentations 3, 19 to 33. Because look at, if you've got any problems at all, any hard times at all, this is going to be your go-to paragraph. Because I'm telling you, I read this one over and over and over and over again, because it brought so much hope to my heart when it hurt really bad. Because this actual paragraph describes the pain in such a way that tells me God understands. He gets it. He's there. He's felt it. He knows what we're feeling. I'll never forget the trouble, the utter lostness, the taste of ashes, the poison I've swallowed. I remember it all. Oh, how well I remember the feeling of hitting bottom. But there's one thing I remember and keep remembering. I keep a grip on hope. God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created new every morning. How great is your faithfulness? God's love was in that room with me, in that hospital room with me. He didn't turn out. He didn't leave. He was there every moment. when I was sitting there thinking, what is going on, God? What are you doing? Is this you, God? What do I do now? I remember feeling like almost as if I could bargain with God and say, you know, God, if you will just come in here and do a miracle, I will find every news station and I will declare that you raised this baby from the dead. And I'm just listing off all the things that I would do if he were to give me the miracle. Well, what about when the miracle didn't come? Am I still gonna find every outlet that I can to declare the goodness of God? Am I still gonna find every chance that I can to display hope to people? How great your faithfulness. I'm sticking with God. I say it over and over again. He's all I've got left. However many times, it's not enough to say it over and over again that God is good. If you've ever experienced any pain at all in your life, maybe you have just a hard time going with family, or maybe your relationship is really tough right now, or maybe you lost a job, or maybe you're trying to have a baby and you're dealing with fertility stuff. However many times you've got to declare the goodness of God, it's not enough. You got to keep going. You got to say it over and over and over again, because it's in those places when we continue to declare, we continue to decree that he is good. That's when the blessings come. That's when the miracles flow. That's when he can take your life and shape it into something that other people can be influenced by. Am I right? Yeah, come on. I'm sticking with God. I say it over and over. He's all I've got left. I've talked to so many people who are recovering from pain and trauma, tragedy, and they say, oh, he's all I've got left. But they say it as if it's a bad thing. Like, I don't have family, I don't have friends, I don't have a job. He's all I've got left. Well, hold on a second. That's the best place to be. What? Like, the greatest gift is the gift of the King of Kings in your life. And that's all you've got left? Oh, I'm sorry. Like, no, that's exactly where you want to be. When I learned, what I learned in those moments where it was God and he was all I had left, you know, we'll come to church on Sunday and somebody's like, hey, how are you? And you're like, oh, I'm so good. Praise the Lord. You know, and that's like your first response. But are you really good? Like, are you really good? And a lot of times we're not really good, but we're pretending that we are. And you know what? You can get by for a little bit with that. You can get by with that pretending. But it's when nobody's looking, and all of a sudden, those little things rear up in your heart, and all of a sudden, you've got some bitterness in there that isn't very pretty, and you're holding on to this pain, and you're holding on to this offense in your family life. You're holding on to an offense towards God. Out of the heart, right, flows the issues of life. So we got to guard it. We got to guard it. When life is heavy and hard to take, go off by yourself. Enter the silence. Bow in prayer. Don't ask questions. Wait for hope to appear. Don't run from trouble. Take it full face. The worst is never the worst. Backing up for a second. This one is like, ouch. I mean, this calls you out a little bit, because when life is heavy and hard to take, go off by yourself, enter the silence, bow in prayer, don't ask questions. Why do you think he says don't ask questions? I don't think he minds our questions, you know? I really don't. I think that when we go to God and we have questions, it's okay, but there's a way that you can ask questions. You can say, God, why did this happen? And this understanding of, we'll never know all of the reasons why such and such bad things happen. You know, it's the tale as old as time. when we explain Christianity to people. Well, why does God let this happen? And it's an argument that nobody ever can settle. But the thing is, we can trust God with the mystery of it all. We can trust him because we know that his nature, the true nature of the heart of God, is prosperity, is life, is wholeness, is freedom, is restoration. Yes, the true nature of God is all good. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the why. But he says, don't ask questions. Wait for hope to appear. You know, when you go to the Lord in your quiet time, sometimes you get there and you don't feel so good. You know, you don't want to be in that moment. Or maybe you're just tired and you're trying to read the word and trying to be a good Christian person and fill up, but you're not feeling it, you know? But he says, wait for hope to appear. And like I said, you have to keep going after it. You have to say it over and over again, because guess what? When you show up, he does too. Yes, when you show up, he does too. So every time we go in prayer, we get on our knees before the Holy Spirit. I mean, I cannot stress this enough, the importance of getting low and just basking in the presence of God and worshiping him. When you go to those places and you look it in the eye, look full face at trials, that's when you can actually see your blessings with a better lens, to be honest. It's when you can look at your hard times, you can see the blessings. You gotta look at those hard times and not run away when things get tough. Don't put a wall around yourself. No, because we wanna see those blessings magnified even more. It says, don't run from trouble. Take it full face. The worst is never the worst. Why? Because the master won't ever walk out and fail to return. He will never walk out. Wow, like that one was a big one for me when I was going through my healing of, you know, releasing fear and anxiety and disappointment. And I was getting rid of that in my life. That was a big one for me, knowing that he won't ever walk out. He was there with me, and he continues to return every single day. You're not alone. No, you're never alone in those dark places. You're never alone. We have to realize that in the waiting for our miracles, in the waiting for our plans to unfold, in the waiting for our freedom to come, that he wants us to become people who can keep on. We gotta keep on hoping. We gotta keep on believing, keep on declaring, keep on plowing through, even when that outcome before didn't look like what you wanted it to be. Even when the outcome isn't what you wanted. We have to keep on. Proverbs 4:23, I said that. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guys, who's watching you? Mamas, who's watching you? Your kids are watching you. Your kids are watching you. That is a big wake-up call when all of a sudden your faith is put to the test. You're tired. You might be dealing with depression. You might be exhausted. You might have had a really hard day at work, but guess who's watching you? Your kids. Your family members that aren't saved yet, they're watching you. And you're believing for their healing, but you haven't done the work on your own heart. Ooh, preaching to somebody. You gotta do the work on your heart. Because the only way that we can influence, the only way that we can inspire hope and freedom to everyone that out there, everyone that we're with, is to fully understand and fully grasp the goodness of God daily in our lives. We're always so quick to put God on trial. You know, where were you? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? I asked for this. You didn't give me that. We're so quick to give him the list, but why not just go to that quiet place with God and say, thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you, God. I have two beautiful children. We were able to get pregnant again, you know, after we lost him. We thought, okay, are we going to go crazy again and try to rock the boat, make the world even more wild? We did. We had another one. And then we had another one. It's so crazy. And it's wild. You know, my husband travels for a living. I work as well. And both of our jobs, like I said, are quite public. I had this tattooed on my arm. My son's name is Jethro Dillon, the one who passed away. And I had it tattooed right here because one of my favorite things is people ask me, what does your tattoo say? And I get to say his story. And his story is not, yeah, his story is not death. It's actually life. His story is life to my heart, to my husband's life, to my children's life. His story is a story of hope. And I get to say his name with a smile on my face. I'm on sets all the time. And people in the entertainment industry, they need Jesus. And I can be out there and say, yeah, God is good in my life. I can say my son's name without a grimace, without being mad at God. How are you not mad at God? That's like number one, the question, honestly. It really is. How are you not mad at God? Well, it's because I did the work on my heart. Yeah, and I got in the word, and I soaked, and I read it over and over again, and I believed it, and I declared it when it was tough. My husband wrote a song called Miracles right after. Yeah, it's a good song if you've heard it. If you haven't, stream it. It's a really good one. He wrote it right after. And it's never easy to sing it. I've heard it 100,000 times, obviously. But every time, it touches my heart in a different way. Every time it hits, I couldn't say it. I couldn't say, it is well with my soul that my son's not here. I told them to take the song off the set list. And my friend, she called me out. And you need those people in your life, right? She called me out and she said, why don't you look into what that song's actually about? So I Googled it. Google. Worship the Lord and say, come wind, come crashing waves. Those crashing waves took out his family. And he puts them in that song and says, I don't care what my outcome was. It is well with my soul. I will sing your praises, God. It is well because I know who you are. I know who you are, Lord. And because of that, it's well with my soul. We've got to use those times of utter despair, complete despair, to surrender to God. Because it can really be your greatest gift to the people around you. The greatest gift to the people around you is recognizing that tough stuff happens, but you can give that blessing back to people by displaying joy and hope, right? You know, a lot of people, like I said, ask me, oh, how do you smile? Like, I am quite carefree as a person. That's my nature. I'm pretty, like, just goofy, kind of stupid. And ditzy blonde. And people ask me, you know, how are you just so, like, goofy all the time? And you know what's interesting? It actually took a long time to get back to who I am after that. It took some time. It took a good, I almost feel like, maybe 3 years for me to get back to who I am. But I did the work on my heart. That's a long time to be working when you deal with depression, if you deal with anxiety, If you deal with fear, don't stop working on it. Don't stop going to the arms of Christ, because you will experience the healing. You will be able to smile again. I promise, joy does come in the morning. Joy does come in the morning. It always comes. He always shows up. He always shows up. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Sufficient, it means enough. It means you don't need anything else except for his grace, because the weakness is where he can come in if we let him. If we let him. The ball is in our court. Ball is in our court. We can have power. We can have strength. We can have joy if we let him in. It's real easy to hold on to bitterness when you've had tough stuff happen. Somebody like Dulce here, who experienced a lot of trauma in a short amount of time. Oh, that woman, what a hero. If we let him in those moments, in those tough times, that's where the power is made great. The power of God is made great in our lives. She has displayed that beautifully. My goodness, she's displayed that incredibly. But it's not an easy choice. It's easier to be bitter. It's a lot easier to build up this offense towards God, build up an offense toward people around you. Say, do you know what I went through? Telling me, how's she trying to tell me to praise the Lord when you don't know what I've been through? You don't know the hard times I've seen. You could see people on social media or on TV, and it looks like their lives are so peachy keen and so perfect and so polished, and think, gosh, they've never had a hard day in their life. It's easy to think that of worship leaders and ministers, pastors. Well, it's easy for them to preach because, you know, they've never really lived this, 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 and this. I was talking to Josh, who was doing music this morning for us. How good was that, Josh? Whoop, whoop. I was talking to him earlier, and he was saying that he had two twin babies, little boys, that were born at 24 weeks, which is way too early. They're supposed to be 40 weeks, if you don't know. Way too early, broken bones. These babies come out, just itty bitty 2 pounders, okay? And they come out and they're in the NICU. That's months of NICU time that him and his wife were in there declaring the goodness of God over and over again, believing for life for his babies, because you don't know if they're gonna survive when it's that early. You just don't know. And he's in there declaring the goodness of God, declaring miracles, believing and trusting. And he's up here singing the praises of God. But he was doing it before he knew if he was going to get the miracle, right? Yeah, he was doing it before he knew if he was going to get that miracle of life for his kids. And it's easy to think, you see somebody on stage dancing and praising, they must have it all easy. They must have it all good. Ministry is all of us. We're all ministers. We all display the goodness of God the second we say, Jesus, come into my life. We're ministers now. We got something to say. People are watching. Your kids are watching, like I said, but people are watching at Target. People are watching at Starbucks. People are watching when you're driving behind somebody slow. They're watching you, I promise. And what are we displaying? What are we displaying? I had to make that decision publicly. Pastor Dean and Pastor Amy, they've had to make those decisions publicly because you guys are all watching them. You know, you see a lot, but let me tell you something, you don't see a lot too. You don't see the sacrifices that they make behind closed doors. the toll that it takes out on family life and ministry. You may never know the sacrifices that they've made. But let me tell you, they're reaping the blessings because behind those doors, they are declaring the goodness of God. They are making the choices to do the work on themselves. Yeah. And then they can minister to you guys. They have direct download from God. God is touching their lives because of those moments, those quiet places. Who are you in the quiet places? Who are you when nobody's watching? Who are you? Oh, man. So many times we're waiting for God to do something or change something or fix something. And he's waiting for us to just take this step, take a step out and make a change in our own lives so that we can become a vessel that shows that God is a God of hope. We've got to give them the place to work on our hearts. We got to get counseling. We got to go to coffee with a friend and be vulnerable and say, I'm having a tough time right now. You know, I've found that sometimes when I talk to people who are going through tough things, I counsel women all the time, actually. And when I talk to them, they seem embarrassed about complaining or, you know, like they don't want to put anybody out. But there's nothing shameful in saying, I need help. My mind is spiraling. What I'm hearing in my head is not the truth of God. I need somebody to help me out. The running joke at Jesus Culture when Pastor Dean was there was that Dean's got a guy for everything. Okay, so it would be like, oh, you know, somebody needs counseling. Yeah, I got a guy. Like he's the Christian mafia or something. He's the Christian mafia. We'd be like, you know, oh, somebody needs healing. They're dealing with this already. And we just found out 5 minutes ago. And Dean's like, yeah, I heard about it. I know about it. It happened 5 minutes ago, Dean. How do you know everything? He's a problem-solving man. He's the Christian mafia. So you've got this guy as your pastor, okay? Yeah, he knows a guy who can help you out. Is that your new slogan? I don't know. I got a guy. But you've got no excuse because you've got these incredible leaders over you. You've got a prayer team around you. You got to do the work on yourself. Because like I said, who's watching you? Your kids, your family. The whole point of being a Christian is to be on display. Whether you have a microphone or not, you're on display. You're on display. You can go ahead and get some keys going. When those dark times came up, you know, it was something that I never thought would happen. I never expected dark times to come. I never expected anything hard to happen to me. It's not like you plan ahead for that, you know? But then all of a sudden, when the hard times come, all of a sudden you're planning for more hard times, right? Like you think because something bad happened to you once, well, now the rest of your life is just gonna be hard. And I remember thinking my daughter would be dealing with asthma stuff. And I'd think to myself, does she have cancer in her lungs? And my mind would just spiral and go crazy thinking that bad stuff was going to keep continuing to happen. But I had to go back to the word over and over and over again and declare Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I had to pull on these verses to shut down anxiety, shut down fear, shut down any disappointment.